The Ecstasy
by John Donne. Where, like a pillow on a bed, a pregnant bank swelled up to rest the violet's reclining head, sat we two, one another's best. Our hands were firmly cemented with a fast balm which thence did spring. Our eye-beams twisted and did thread our eyes upon one double string. So to intergraft our hands as yet was all the means to make us one, and pictures in our eyes to get was all our propagation. As 'twixt two equal armies, fate suspends uncertain victory. Our souls, which to advance their state were gone out, hung 'twixt her and me. And whilst our souls negotiate there, we like sepulchral statues lay. All day the same our postures were, and we said nothing all the day. If any so by love refined that he soul's language understood, and by good love were grown all mind, within convenient distance stood, he, though he knew not which soul spake, because both meant, both spake the same, might thence a new concoction take, and part far purer than he came. This ecstasy doth unperplex, we said, and tell us what we love. We see by this it was not sex. We see we saw not what did move. But as all several souls contain mixture of things, they know not what. Love, these mixed souls, doth mix again, and makes both one, each this and that. A single violet transplant, the strength, the color, and the size, all which before was poor and scant, redoubles still and multiplies. When love with one another so inter-inanimates two souls, that abler soul which thence doth flow, defects of loneliness controls. We then, who are this new soul, know of what we are composed and made. For the atomies of which we grow are souls, whom no change can invade. But oh, alas, so long, so far, our bodies, why do we forbear? They are ours, though they are not we. We are the intelligences, they the spheres. We owe them thanks, because they thus did us, to us, at first convey, yielded their forces, sense, to us, nor are dross to us, but allay. On man heaven's influence works not so, but that it first imprints the air, so soul into the soul may flow, though it to body first repair. As our blood labors to beget spirits as like souls as it can, because such fingers need to knit that subtle knot which makes us man, so must pure lovers' souls descend to affections and to faculties which sense may reach and apprehend. Else a great prince in prison lies. To our bodies turn we then, that so weak man on love revealed may look. Love's mysteries in souls do grow, but yet the body is his book. And if some lover such as we have heard this dialogue of one, let him still mark us. He shall see small change when we're to bodies gone. This extraordinary poem is usually the strongest piece of evidence for anyone who wants to argue that Donne, in addition to his mastery of various verbal tricks and extraordinary conceits, is also a serious and wise philosopher of love. The poem is very witty, but it also is deeply learned. It depends, as many Donne poems do, on a knowledge of some aspects of Renaissance cosmology, metallurgy, physiology, theories of intelligence, and other various sorts of erudition from the Renaissance. It doesn't yield up its secrets all too easily, but I think probably even someone who doesn't have all the footnotes here with them, as I do, I admit, would be able to follow the main line of thought, which is that these two lovers are lying motionless on a bank, holding hands, staring into each other's eyes, so close that they can see the reflection of their face, of their own faces, in the eyes of the beloved. Those little reflections you can see in the pupil, or I guess on the cornea, of the person whose eyes you're staring into, they actually had a name in the Renaissance. They called those reflections babies. And Donne makes a little joke about that, saying, pictures in our eyes to conceive, were as yet the only way they had of making any kind of love or having any kind of babies. In this very interesting pose, this very interesting attitude, the two lovers, silent, still, turning almost to marble in the ferocity of their concentration on each other, have an out-of-body experience, which is what the ecstasy means. Ecstasy means standing outside the self, standing beside yourself. And in this ecstasy, the two souls of the lovers come out and mingle with each other. And I'd love to talk about this poem all night long. I won't, but suffice it to say that what happens then is something that is quite paradoxical, which Donne explores in a great deal of detail, in a very compressed fashion. Essentially, when you have the fusion of two souls, you have the problem of maintaining the identity of each of the separate souls, which you need for there to be any kind of love. If the two souls simply merge completely, then identity is annihilated, and the love that they feel for each other then really can't be spoken of as something involving two agents. On the other hand, if there's not fusion, then there's not that perfect ecstasy. So Donne is exploring the ways in which the mixture of the souls grants to each of them a kind of heightened knowledge of their own individuality. Can't be explained logically, but for many people, the experience of love answers to that kind of paradox at its best. And of course, Donne being Donne, he couldn't make the thing completely an out-of-the-body experience. Probably the last third of the poem has to do with getting back to the body, because the body is not something that simply corrupts or corrodes the soul. The body's an important part of this experience of total union. Donne says the body is not dross but alloy, meaning it's an alloy. It's something that actually makes the entire metal stronger. And by the end of the poem, Donne is imagining that anyone who has witnessed this exchange of souls, this fusion, this return to the body, would actually be ennobled by that, would part far purer than he came, and would also note that the condition of soul fusion and identity maintenance that is true when the souls are out of the body, hasn't really changed very much when the souls go back into the body. It is, in its way, one of Donne's most perfect poems, one of his most optimistic poems. It maintains that typical Donnean wit, while at the same time it is very clear and deliberate in its purpose, which is, I think, to establish a philosophy of love, which is also a philosophy of identity, as those two terms are interdependent in Donne's world.